is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. There is a big election in the Americas this year. It's in Argentina, a very developed economy compared to much of the world, but troubled by overwhelming inflation, now reported at 109%. And the inflation rate is enough to break the back of any government, no matter what their intentions. However, the race for the presidency remains unclear. We do have this clarity. Reuters reporting, Argentine Vice President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner said she will not run for president in the election scheduled for October, claiming, she said, that the country's judicial system would disqualify her after a high-profile corruption case. Now, Vice President de Kirchner joins the President Fernandez in declining to run for the presidency. Most notably, you would expect there to be advance by the opposition to the Peronistas, who are identified with Fernandez and Kirchner. However, the Peronistas in a local election have been successful recently in provinces outside of Buenos Aires. So the question is, have we normalized 100% inflation? Is this something that the electorate in Argentina does not believe can be corrected by changing horses in the middle of a very stormy sea? Professor, Argentina remains a mystery to me. 109% breaks any government for the last 100 years. Why does Argentina hold up and at least theoretically not punish the Peronistas for this dilemma?
Well, John, certainly Argentina historically has gone through periods of basically boom or bust financially, hyperinflation, more responsible policies. And so in some ways, this is just the latest in these dramatic cycles that Argentina experiences. But certainly through essentially printing money and compounded by other difficulties, yeah, you have the 109% inflation, you have the central bank trying to manage it more effectively by raising interest rates. They're talking about taking interest rates up to 97% and more aggressively managing Forex. You've seen a fall in their international reserves. On top of things, you have a record drought, which has decreased their potential for exporting agricultural goods, which has contributed to their fall in reserves, because that's in part the cash that they get from that. And there's some question of whether the outstanding debt that they have, which is another issue, a $44 billion IMF deal and their renegotiation of that. But certainly there is a lot of discontent over that. And that discontent was one of the reasons why Alberto Fernandez, the current president, had said that he was not going to run. But previously, the vice president, previous president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, had announced that because, frankly, of a legal ruling against her on a corruption charge, that she would not run either for the presidency or for the Senate. And so the fact that she now declared a second time, just as if nobody was paying attention the first time, that she would not run, in some ways, in my judgment, that's to try to establish herself as a victim of the Argentine judicial system, which the Peronists say, especially with the Supreme Court, is stacked against them. But she'd already announced that she wasn't going to run, so it really wasn't anything new. But at the end of the day, it really is right now the center-right Argentina opposition, Juntos para el Cambio, was at least previously in the leadership. You have a number of interesting candidates, the previous security minister, Patricia Bullrich, the previous governor of Buenos Aires, Maria Vidal. But at the same time, you also have a candidate who's been surging in the polls, a libertarian, rather interesting character, a bit of an non-traditional character, Javier Milei, who by some polls is actually running as the front runner with an organization called La Libertad Avanza. And so right now, if the polls are to be believed, Argentina is ready for something different. However, it's not clear yet. You don't have the primaries, what's called El Paso, to indicate who really is going to be the front runner and whether the Argentine right and center rallies around that person in order to have at least a coherent response to vote out Frente de Todos, vote out the Peronistas in the upcoming October elections.
It is possible. I go to the Peronista Party announcement that the success was in parts of Argentina that are not determinative. I read, Argentina's ruling Peronist party posted strong wins Sunday, just recently, appearing to hold control over three provinces just months ahead. But three provinces are the province of Salta and the province of Tierra del Fuego and La Pampa. Are those sparsely populated provinces, or are they determinative for the final election? Because they've done very well there.
Well, what it certainly illustrates is that in certain local areas, and yeah, you do have, despite everything, these local elections, which were really determined by local conditions and the influence that that local politicians have there, Salta, Tierra del Fuego, and La Pampa, and also it should be mentioned that in Tucumán and San Juan also you had important wins. However, interestingly, the Supreme Court invalidated the elections right before what probably would have been Peronist wins. In one case, openly, the governor, Sergio Uña, was trying to run for a third term, which was, prohibited. But you're absolutely right that despite the disastrous performance at national level politics, this indicates that at least in terms of the ability to connect and dominate certain provinces at the local level, the Peronist political machine is still running strong.
Professor, I want to turn to the big picture of these elections, because this election is on October, many months to prepare for it, and there'll be vicissitudes of the news. But I believe I say correctly that the recent vote in Paraguay that delivered the Colorado Party in control again, along with the possibility that we're going to speak of Ecuador, that President Lasso holds his place, and not much else except for the possibility that Argentina would pass to the from the left of center to the right of center. There's not much down in all of the Americas to say that the pink tide, so-called, is still flowing strong. What is the policy of the United States, of the State Department, towards this apparent trend in the Americas, not only to go to the left of center, but to suggestively be anti-American?
Well, you make a very interesting point, John, because historically, to make a generalization, the United States probably found it most comfortable in dealing with center-right governments, which tend to be more friendly with respect to the private sector, more disposed to cooperate with the United States. However, with a turn to the left in the United States, although President Biden per se is not necessarily that far to the left. But certainly the perception that with the new leftist governments, ranging from the authoritarian populist anti-democratic left like in Venezuela, to the principled left like Gabriel Boric in Chile, there's a question of how the U.S. engages with them. And what has happened so far generally is trying to engage with those governments on their terms, finding coincidence in areas such as working together on environmental issues, on social justice, areas where the U.S. Could agree. And that's been the case with Gabriel Boric in Chile. That's been the case with the Petro government in Colombia. That's been the case now with the Lula government. Now, what I think the U.S. has begun to find is that, on the one hand, you can have coincidences and positive relations on those areas like environmentalism and social justice. And yet those governments at the same time will continue to take actions that may hurt the U.S. interest in other areas, such as decreased security cooperation, as you see in Mexico and in Colombia, et cetera. But the general policy, I think, has been to try to find places where the U.S. can agree and work with those governments.
Yes, and working with those governments, we're accepting then, in some fashion, that the Americas have become multipolar, because these same governments have strong conversations with our, let's presume, the outside adversaries. That would be Moscow, Tehran, Beijing. That's enough. So that the U.S. policy is we speak to all governments, no matter that they're also strengthening their relations with our foes. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I think certainly with respect to China, there is governments in the region always did business with China, even before even conservative governments like the Duque government in Colombia did business at the national and subnational level with the Chinese. But certainly the Biden administration has been trying to avoid the perception that the U.S. is trying to make them choose between the one or the other, but really is asking for, to conduct all of its relations with a certain level of transparency, rule of law, equal opportunity. Now, at the same time, certainly a certain discomfort with respect to Ecuador, with respect to Iran. So, you had the Brazilian government, the Lula government, allowing the Iranian warship Makran to dock in Brazil a couple of weeks ago. You have some other behaviors of concern, and certainly on Russia, the desire by the U.S. government that our Latin American partners would do more in terms of not only voting in the United Nations to condemn what Russia has done in Ukraine, but possibly even provide some of their surplus Russia-era military equipment to help the Ukrainians or do more to help Ukraine. From everyone from Petro to AMLO in Mexico, unfortunately, has not been forthcoming. But the Biden administration has really been not trying to really stir up too much difficulty over what those sovereign nations have not been willing to do. But it really illustrates some of the difficulties and vulnerabilities that we have strategically because of that turn to the left and in all of its flavors in the region.
We're going to where there's trouble. That would be Quito, Ecuador, right now, for one of the presidents in the Americas considered to be right of center. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.